God damn it, the kids are right.
Kids are right. Kids are right.
What's up, Gators? It's been a while. Welcome back to the Bite Back. We are the official bite-sized podcast of the student uprising at San Francisco State University. My name is Cole, and I could not be more happy to be back in the studio. For those of you who listened to our first couple episodes, welcome back. For any new listeners, thanks for stopping by. We hope you'll stay. First couple episodes were definitely interesting. We learned a lot in terms of how to put a podcast together and all the work and pre-planning that goes into something like that. So we're back. We're better than ever. We're going to try to keep things consistent for you guys from here on out, keep things short and sweet. And yeah, we hope you'll stick around. I'm super excited to see how this unfolds. As the cuts to our education persist, every department and college is experiencing them in different ways. For some, the initial impact may simply be the loss of lecturers and fewer enrollment options, while others are already staying afloat entirely off the back of a single tenured professor, as is the case with the School of Dance. Students there have watched beloved faculty and lecturers ousted from decades-long positions, a technique and performance-based curriculum vanish from the course catalog, and fellow classmates having to supplement major requirements in classes and departments that have nothing whatsoever to do with dance. Today, we want to highlight the work of the Student Dance Union in their efforts to help fellow classmates find community, shared struggle, and collective power in their fight against the increasingly dire state of their department, as well as the creative arts on our campus as a whole. Here to tell us more is Clarissa Saunders. She is the president of the Student Dance Union, and joining us as well, Elijah Sue, the organization's event coordinator. Guys, welcome.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I'm feeling good. Thank you for having us, Cole.
Of course. So I've already gushed enough about how much I love you guys' organization and the work that you're doing, so I won't get started again.
Love.
let's just jump right into it. Kind of tell me briefly about your individual relationships with dance as an art form and how you decided to pursue that when it came time to go to college.
Yeah, so personally, I have been a dancer since I was 5 years old. It's been my entire life growing up. Did it all throughout middle school, high school, everything. And then after I graduated high school, I actually had a moment of, I am done with dance. I am quitting dance, never dancing again. And then my freshman year of college, I kind of started dancing again just for funsies. And I kind of remembered why I danced in the first place, why I love the art form, and like why I love the community. It kind of helped balance out the bad experiences I had with it in high school. And then going into my sophomore year, I decided to declare it as my major just because I fell in love with it again and I realized why I want to do it moving forward. And so, yeah, I've been dancing pretty regularly ever since then. Except for with the cuts, I unfortunately haven't been. It was great until it wasn't.
And absolutely.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we'll get into that for sure. Elijah.
Hey. So I've been in the performance industry since I was, I want to say, about 5 years old, but I didn't start seriously dancing until 2019. Because that was like when I actually learned, whoa, my hips. They know how to move. I can move my hips, guys. That's awesome. And so I initially started out as an actor, and I have a focus on physicality in my acting. And so dance has really helped inform me on that. And kind of like Clarissa, I originally came to college because I was going to just pursue acting. And I took a few dance classes, and I was like, hold on a minute. There's something here. I can do this. And so I declared the dance minor initially last year, fall 2024. And then in spring 2025, I was like, you know what? Let's go for full send it. Go home. Let's declare the major. And it's been great and not at the same time. I have a lot of course substitutions.
And to that, kind of tell me what's been going on in the School of Dance in the wake of the cuts that we're seeing kind of take hold right now.
Yeah, so we were initially hit by the cuts in the spring of 2024, our longtime tenured faculty member, Ray Taddeo, he was based in the physical practice of dance. So he did a lot of our technique classes and he really provided mentoring for us in that aspect. He was, I want to say victim because kind of, yeah, he was a victim of the voluntary separation incentive program, which paid certain faculty members half of their salary to resign from the university. He was targeted by that and pretty much forced out of his position. So that left us with one single tenured faculty member who only specializes in dance studies. And due to the fact that the university is pretty much refusing at this moment to hire any lecturers, we've barely been able to get lecturers in. We did have another full-time faculty member for about a year last school year. Her name is Sierra Ward, and she was hired the semester that Ray ended up leaving. So Sierra was hired both because of a recommendation from the Western Association of Schools and Colleges that our program needed a third full-time faculty member in order to properly function and give us an adequate education. She was also hired because of her specialization in Afrofusion technique and the curriculum that she wanted to bring to our program, because right now the school wants innovation, and she was ready to bring that. She was ready to bring us a curriculum that accurately reflected our students. And so it was an amazing year with her. She brought so much to our program. She was an amazing mentor for our students. And then, unfortunately, in the spring of this last year, 2025, our faculty all across the board were receiving continuous threats from administration that faculty were going to be cut, people were going to get laid off. And so, of course, that starts with the last people to be hired, which in our case was her. So after that semester of continuous just threats of being unemployed, she received a very insulting offer from the provost office for her salary for this year. So unfortunately, as a result of that, she was no longer able to stay with us. So now we are down to a single faculty member who does not even teach dance technique. So because of that, they are allowing us some lectures because that was already in the budget for the school year. However, we do still have a whole $95,000 from her salary that is missing. We do not know where that has gone, and they are not hiring us the lectures.
I wonder where.
I wonder where.
I wonder where.
Where should
we go? For non-dance majors, kind of explain a little bit why the lack of performance and technique-based curriculum is so, so troubling.
The lack of performance and technique-based curriculum is troubling for dancers because dance is rooted in technique and performance. If you do not have technique, you are not going to be able to perform to the best of your capabilities. And if you do not have performance opportunities, you will not have a track to get a job once you graduate college, because they're going to look at your resume and they're going to see nothing. Essentially,
with any program, like, you have to have hands-on experience in the field, especially in the arts. Even if you aren't, it's like being a chemistry major without ever taking a chem lab. Like, it's just, yeah, it's not a thing, but they expect it to be a thing for dance just because it's dance and they don't take dance seriously.
Yeah. And yeah, on top of all of that, there are certain techniques built into different styles of dance that inform other styles of dance. Like, before coming to the school, I had more of a specialization in musical theater art, so that's singing and dancing at the same time. A lot of musical theater dances are rooted in jazz dance, and so you typically take a jazz dance class, or a lot of musicals have tap dance in them. In order to be able to tap dance in a musical, you need to take a tap class. And we were supposed to have a tap class this semester that unfortunately got cut because we don't have a lecturer for it.
Kind of walk me through day to day what it has felt like to have just a single professor basically carrying on an entire catalog by themselves with the help of, you know, two lecturers that were initially laid off, but, you know, were hired back just out of pure emergency.
It's very disheartening. First of all, one single faculty member for the load of an entire major and minor, that's just so much to put on one person's plate. All of the advising, all of the planning. Granted, she does have a lot of help from our department chair, Kim Schwartz, but at the end of the day, like, she's the only faculty member for dance. So it's just, it's a lot to see put on one person's plate, and we love Dr. Wong. She does so much for us. We just wish there were better conditions for her too. And just having only one technique class out of like two physical practice-based classes, it's just very sad to see. Like, I'm barely even in the creative arts building this semester just because I've already taken the classes. I don't need to take them. The creative arts building, it used to be so alive. The halls, I felt like I was in like Hollywood Arts. Like, the halls used to be so alive. There yeah. used to be such a strong community. Everyone knew and supported everyone. There was just such a strong foundation for the department. And now it just kind of feels like a ghost town in there. Like, there's definitely still a lot of theater students in there. They're doing a little bit better than we are, but they're kind of catching up. It's catching up to where dance is at. It's very sad to see. It feels like the whole dance community at our school was kind of just killed off a little bit.
Yeah, and on top of that, because we only have one faculty member, it's possible for one student to be enrolled in every single one of the dance classes. In my case, I'm enrolled, and I could have enrolled in all of them. There's just one class that I'm not taking because it's asynchronous. And so it's just a bit ridiculous that a singular student can take every single class offered to you by the university.
And I guess moving forward, what was kind of the moment where you realized your collective powers, dance students, to fight back against what's happening to your department?
I would say it started when the Student Advisory Board for the School of Theater and Dance was formed. That advisory board was formed to bridge the gap between the theater and dance school and the faculty members and the students. Because what was going on was, there was a lot of outcry, there was a lot of anger amongst the community, and it was being directed at the faculty members when it wasn't the faculty members' faults that we were not getting classes, that we were not getting teachers, that there's just nothing being offered for us. And so because of the gap bridge between the students and the faculty members, the Student Advisory Board created these town halls where the students who were part of the Student Advisory Board would explain what was going on to the community. And there is one specific town hall that was centered around dance.
Which, are you talking about the one from last December?
Yes and no. Yes and there have been multiple town halls.
There was a brief one over Zoom last December. I believe it was after our New Moves show, which previously was our stage show for the fall semester that featured student work. Rest in peace, New Moves. But yeah, so I don't remember exactly how it came to fruition, but we did have a Zoom call with our department chair and our dance faculty that kind of just brought to the surface some of those feelings, just talking about why we're upset. It was after the spring schedule had come out, and we're like, guys, where are our classes? What is happening? The schedule just kept getting smaller and smaller every semester. And I think they just didn't necessarily understand at first why we were upset. Of course, we were aware of the cuts, but we weren't necessarily processing how it was affecting our department. Just because it had been so strong up until that point, it just kind of came as a shock to us.
Yeah, 'cause we went from having like four or five technique classes offered, like maybe even more. I wasn't here for when there were more than that, but I know when I first started.
It was so
good. And I transferred here fall 2024, three.
Yes.
2020 something. Fall 2020 something. There were like there was ballet, there was jazz, there was tap, there was Afrofusion, there is Haitian folklore dance, there's integrated dance, which was an amalgamation of a whole bunch of different dance styles. And then literally the next semester there was Afrofusion.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was the first town hall meeting we had, if you could call it that. And then in the spring, the student advisory board had a meeting, had a town hall meeting. That was first there was one that was centered around theater, and no one was really sure if the dancers were going to show up since it was centered around theater. But one of our dance representatives on the board was kind of texting a big group chat we all had, like, guys, come to the meeting, come to the meeting. Shout out Jasmine. But yeah, so I know that was when I was personally like, okay, I guess I'll go to the meeting. And a good amount of dancers showed up. And this was right after our fall schedule had come out, where we had a total of 5 classes, only 1 technique class. So at that meeting, it was about the theater, the new curriculum that was being introduced for theater. And we let them have their moment, explain everything they needed to explain. But once the floor was opened up, the dancers did kind of overtake it a little bit, because we were like, guys, like, there's this whole celebration going on for theater about this new curriculum and how, wow, look at this amazing thing. Oh, sorry, dancers. So we were like, kind of like, guys, what the heck? What's happening? So
like, we exist too.
Yeah. So we overthrew that meeting a little bit. And I think that's when they kind of started to realize how badly the dancers were being affected. So they ended up having another meeting for dance about a month later. And at that meeting, unfortunately, the turnout for that meeting was a tad bit disappointing. But at that meeting, we were kind of like, okay, guys, like, we have to walk out of here with a plan. Like, we can sit here and talk about why we're upset, how we have no classes all day, but like, what are we going to do to fix this problem? And so I have previous student org experience, so I kind of know how the funding from associated students and everything works. And so what it was sounding like at the time, one of our main things that we wanted was a stage show, because it's like, how are we going to be a dance program with no show? So I was like, okay, guys, well, if we are a registered student organization, we get about $2,000 from associated students every year for a special event. We can use that for a stage show. We can have a student-run show, which we had talked about a little bit the previous semester. So I think that's kind of the moment where we were like, okay, like, we can do this. Like, for real this time, we are going to move forward with this.
That was part 1 of 2 of our talk with Clarissa and Elijah from the Student Dance Union. Next week, we'll pick up our conversation, talk about the student walkout, the subsequent bargaining sessions with the Dean of the Liberal and Creative Arts College, and next steps for the School of Dance moving forward. And that about does it for this episode of The Bite Back. This podcast was produced and hosted by myself. Our post-production editor is Natasha Lin. Our audio engineer is Cloud Wong. And we want to give a special shout out, of course, to our guests, Clarissa Saunders and Elijah Su from the Student Dance Union. And also a special thanks to KSFS for lending us their facilities to get this thing recorded and done and out to you guys. If you want to follow this podcast, find out more about what we're doing, you can find us at Biteback SFSU, Biteback SFSU. We'll give you updates, some behind-the-scenes looks, and some sneak previews as well. If you're interested in organizing your department or you want to find out more about what we're doing as a union to resist the cuts to our education, come hang out with us. We're in room 213 of the Humanities Building every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. or on Zoom as well. You can also find Student Union on Instagram and on Substack now at SFSU Student Union. Once again, my name is Cole, and from all of us at the SFSU Student Union, wherever and whenever you're listening, thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll see you next time. Take care.